with your membership and participation here at New Heights Baptist Church. In Luke chapter 11, John certainly taught his disciples how to pray, or how better to pray if they knew aught. But in chapter 11, verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Brother James, I'll get this on, okay? Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So John the Baptist was obviously teaching his disciples how to pray. And the disciples of the Lord, seeing that, were provoked. Good provocation, wouldn't you agree? Good provocation. Lord, would you teach us how to pray as John teaches his disciples how to pray? Well, that's good. That's a good thing. Well, prayer and power are connected. And prayer and power and joy are connected. John 16:24 says, Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Now let me stop there. How many Christians do you know that they don't talk to God much? And if they do talk to God much, they don't seem to ask God for too much of anything. Some, I think, God, I'll provide, I'll do that by myself, I don't need you. And they just got a big britches problem. Right? But some people feel like, well, I don't want to ask God for something unless I get in a dire strait. Then I'll ask God for some help. But how many people do you know that profess the name of Christ that don't regularly talk to God and don't really have much of a prayer life? It's almost like, well, I don't want to talk to the ceiling, but they don't understand they're talking to Almighty God. So the Bible says here in John 16:24, Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. You don't ask. Now, what child lives in the home of a parent and never asks for anything? Right? I mean, can I have the car keys? Can I take the car this weekend? Mom, have you got $20? I've got this project at school. I need $30. Mom, my stockings have a tear in them. Can I get some more leotards? I don't think they call them leotards these days. Do they call them leotards? Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't know a woman's world, you know. Unless I read it. Then I learn about all kinds of moulages. Is that the right name? Marliage. Huh? No R. Marliage. Ah, see, I know about that. It means striped hairdo. That's what it means. Get your hair striped, it's a marliage. Something like that. Okay, but that's their world, and I don't have to live in it. That's what I'm thankful for. But a lot of people, you know, I want to get my hair, I'm just going to say striped. I want to get my hair striped. Can I borrow, you know, $250 or whatever it costs these days? You know, I want to get my hair highlights and all of that, you know, and just on and on. What kid? Mama, can I have a glass of Kool-Aid? Can I have a glass of tea? Can I have a water? Can I have a fruit juice? I mean, what family with children in it, the children do not go around asking mom and daddy for things? And what family, God's family, should we expect if you have a bunch of children, and God has a lot of children, that we would expect those children to not be asking on a regular basis their father for some things, for stuff? Why not? You asked your mom and daddy. Why did you ask your mom and daddy? Well, they love me. You think God doesn't love you? God loves you more than your mom and daddy. So we ought to be asking our Father, our Heavenly Father, for a lot of things. A lot of things. I remember Brother Greg, I picked on him earlier, so I'll pick on him again. I was looking for some Christmas lights. Remember the story, looking for those Christmas lights? And I knew we'd bought some before, and I was looking to kind of upgrade and make Miss Joan Ray happy. You know, they're already working on their Christmas stuff. And I was over around Harry Hines. I knew where we bought it was somewhere over there in that vicinity. And we were driving all over, and that's really not the best of neighborhoods, you know what I mean, over in that area. And we were driving all around trying to find this little dinky of a spot that had those Christmas lights. And I'd gone on the internet and tried to find them. I couldn't find them anywhere. So I said, well, I'll just go over there and I'll find them. I'll drive around. Well, I'm ready to give up. I mean, I probably spent 2 hours over in that part of town, and that's 1 hour and 59 minutes too much. And so I said, well, I'm just going to go. And Brother Greg, being the spiritual smart aleck he was, he's now sanctified and wearing a Superman shirt. But he said, did you pray about it? And I had to admit, as his pastor, no, I didn't. Do you remember that story? I didn't pray, and I didn't. But God gave me grace. I went to turn on the highway to get up on the overpass, and I looked to my right, and what did I see? I saw that Christmas place. Well, I broke the law, and I ran off the curb, and I got over there as fast as I could, you know. And man, I was just so excited to see the place, and it was right there beside the highway, almost underneath the highway, you know, the overpass. And then, but I tell you, I didn't pray, and that's why I didn't see it. But I'm glad he was praying for me, and so I saw it anyway at the very last second. My point is, we ought to be asking our Father for stuff. Now, I don't mean just foolish stuff. Do you borrow $20? Can I have the keys? I mean, sometimes, you know, hey, Dad, can you show me how to tie a tie? I have one of the rental families, the little boy, he wants to be in the Air Force. And he's dressing the part. I mean, every day he gets ready to go to school and he dresses up and he puts on a tie. He wants to look that part. And so I was over there and his mom was telling him all about it. And I said, oh, you want to be in the Air Force? And I said, oh, that's good. That's good. And I said, you know, and he was impressed because I had a tie on. I'd gone over there to do a little work. The garbage disposal just had a bottle top in it. And they didn't know how to get it fixed, you know. So I'm there in a tie, but he was just staring at me. She said, he's impressed with your tie. And I said, why often wear a tie? He said, you do. What is it that you do? And I said, well, it's something more important than the Air Force, but I won't talk about that too much. And I said, but I'm proud to see you dressed up, and you want to be in the Air Force. That's good. And I said, who taught you how to tie a tie? So we got it real quick. We got in a tie-tying contest. Who could tie the tie faster? And he did the half knot. You know, of course, I do the full knot. And I showed him how to do that. But I beat him. I didn't make it easy for him. I want him to, he's going to be in the Air Force. I want him to learn how to fight. Amen? I want him. I'm going to make it easy on him. No. Make it hard on him. Train him better. Amen? Amen. Say it, ladies, say amen. Amen. All right, get with me. All right? Now, so, you know, but I barely beat him. He did pretty good. And then we had a talk about that. But what kid doesn't ask their mama for something? Doesn't ask your daddy. When they get enough boldness, they'll ask daddy. You know, my kids ask me a lot of times. Of course, I got to tell them no a lot of times. They'd ask their mama a lot of times, and she'd give them a yes. You know, mamas are just weak like that, you know. But hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive. Ask. Well, son, you never asked. Never asked. I remember telling my dad, the reason I didn't play football in high school is because he got ramrodded through peewee ball that I played football, and I really enjoyed playing football, and I played in junior high. But we had to be bussed over to another town to go to high school. And I wanted to play football, but I didn't want to ask him because they didn't have a bus to get me home after football practice. And so I let football go. I'll let it go. And I like playing football. You could legally try to kill somebody. I like that kind of thing, you know. But anyway, several years later, he found out that, you know, the coach was harassing me, the football coach, and the coach and all. He had harassed me because, why did you play for them? You won't play for me? Well, I didn't want to say, so I was embarrassed about it. And so finally, I made the mistake of telling Daddy too much, and he said, I didn't know you wanted to play football. And I said, well, I didn't want to bring it up because three other parents were supposed to help get me back and forth and all of us boys from Yulee over to Pee Wee football over in Fernandina Beach, Florida, okay, over on the island. And about 3 weeks in, he was the only one ever carrying us kids anywhere. And so he had to lose work and take off work, and it put him in a bad spot. It wasn't right. It just wasn't right. And I knew it was an injustice, and I didn't want to ask him again to put him in that place. Things had gotten real tight, and that's when he was paying the bills on coon dog puppies and stuff. And I didn't want to burden him, so I didn't do it. But so years later, he said, well, why didn't you tell me you wanted to play? I would have made a way for you to play football if that's what you wanted to do. He said, oh, I really wanted to play.
And he said, why didn't you ask me? I said, and then I explained. And he said, I wish you'd asked me. I wish you'd asked me. And I said, I didn't want to ask you. You'd already made a payment, and I didn't want you to have to make that payment again, so I'll let it go. He said, but yeah, but you didn't get to play football, and you wanted to play football. My point is, I have a good father. And good fathers want their children to come to them with honest requests, even if it puts them in a bind. Why? Because my daddy loves me. That's why. Don't we understand how much God loves us and how much He would want to bless us? But sometimes we need to learn how to ask. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Did I want to play football? Yes, I really did. I honestly did. Every once in a while I'd go to a game and I'd see guys that I whipped out there, you know. And man, they were shining, they were doing good. And I thought I could still take them, you know. I still take them. The bigger they are, the harder they fall, you know. And I loved it. I was small, but I was mean, you know, like Brother Greg, you know. I had some grit, all right? So ask that your joy would be full. Well, Psalm 65:2 says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You have to sincerely believe God exists and he's good, or you wouldn't do the following. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You don't seek a bad God. You don't seek Satan if you want to be blessed with righteousness. You don't do that. You seek a holy God if you want to be blessed. Now, let me give you a few points, six things. A prayer-hearing God is a living God. There's no such thing as a God that hears prayers if he's dead. All right? So make sure you're praying to the living God. It's the Christian God. Make sure you're praying to that God. Number two, a prayer-hearing God is an all-knowing God. He has to know all things. Number three, if God is able to answer prayer, he is the one who has all power over heaven and earth. He can do anything. If God answers prayer, he must be the creator. He must be that powerful creator. He can make it happen. If the God who answers prayer is a miracle-working God, if there be a God, he's got to act like a God. And number six, if God answers prayer, he is a God of infinite love and mercy, because none of us deserve it. Not one of us deserve it. Some days worse than others, but we never deserve it. Let me give you nine reasons why we should pray and why you should pray and why I should pray, especially when you're looking for Christmas lights. Number one, God commands us to pray. If you command your kids to brush their teeth, you figured out it's good for them to brush their teeth, right? You wouldn't command them to do something you thought was bad for them. You command them to do something that you know is good for them, right? You need to get your rest, go to bed. But I said go to bed. I said, go to bed. You know they need sleep. And if they're not getting enough sleep, that's on you, moms and dad. That's on you. You tell them, no, I said go to bed. I mean now, right now. Right now. Okay? Do it. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. 5:7 of 1 Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. And I don't have a big problem with that. Even if I go down the highway, especially if I get on 635 or 190 in traffic time, I don't have a problem at all being provoked to pray. You know, I go to some of these other cities and they say, oh, you know, you don't want to go through Dodge City this time and the traffic's horrible. When's the last time you've been in Dallas? Chicago? Atlanta? Atlanta's horrible. You know, amen? I mean, yeah, they think traffic's bad in, you know, in Weatherford? Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. Pray without ceasing. Philippians 4:6, we had this in one of the interns preached this the other day. Be careful, anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's why sometimes you hear people pray and they'll end the prayer like in the closing and with thanksgiving. That's this verse. They're reflecting this verse in their prayer. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, even if you like them or you're not, that ye may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul's so asking them to pray for him, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Boy, that's a statement. Then there are times we are to pray for specific things, like Paul told the believers to pray for him. I think not to pray is sin, because the lack of faith. That's not a faith, it's sin. 1 Samuel 12, 23 says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Pray for you, or you are committing a sin. Number two, prayer is one of God's ways of believers getting blessings. It's not the only way, but it is a way. You have not because you ask not. James chapter 4. You got to remember, God can use any means. God can use the jawbone of an ass. He can use just about anything. If He chooses to use it, He can do it. Know that God can bless you, but one of the ways He wants to bless you is by you asking. I love my children. I love them. I love them with all my heart. And I know you love your children with all your heart. And I like to bless them. I like to bless them. I love it. I love my children and I love to bless them. And his prayer is one of God's way of getting blessings. Number three, pray because it's a way that our joy could be full. I talked about, you know, Miss Sandy Cat, and it is a really good picture. Yeah, a really good picture. But, you know, and I say that because I don't take good pictures hardly at all. Now, Cindy and Paul, they take excellent pictures. They just photogenic that way. And the other day, Colt told me that Shalise, I guess maybe she figured it out, says, you have to laugh when you take pictures. You have to think that you laughed at it. And I said, well, that's new. Maybe that's why my pictures never look that good. You know, I'm not laughing, you know. But God wants our joy. He wants our joy cup to be full. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If the joy of the Lord is your strength and you have no joy, how much strength do you have? Why is it that you feel like a buh? No joy. No joy. Joy, you feel great, right? Joy, you feel great. Joy is full. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. God wants your cup of joy to be full. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow with it. That's Proverbs 10, 22. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. He addeth no sorrow to it. Psalm 81, 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. We are about to celebrate 20 years as New Heights Baptist Church. If you notice, I'm grimacing every once in a while. You're not imagining things. My back is giving me fits. What say? I say 20 years? 30 years. It's 30 years. And believe me, I know it. I told Brother Rick just earlier, I said, you know, I looked in the mirror the other day and about all I see is gray hair. I said, I got two little dark streaks right there if you look close, but gray. Where did that come from? About 30 years that we moved here. I remember presenting, Brother James, I remember you were in that meeting, three options to the church officers at the time in the two-story building back there where we had those meetings. And one night, and that was in 2004. Can you believe it? 2004. We have three different options. We could go to a cross-cultural ministry, and I didn't learn Spanish and so forth on. All these things are we could relocate. And I asked them to pray about that, and of course we did, and we relocated here. I started for looking land all over the place. And there were some things going on. I was trying to watch over sheep that were splintered and scattered over yon up in the north country. And so I was looking all over from Richardson to Plano, to Rowlett, to Wiley, just all within reasonable driving distance. I'd knock on doors near property and just ask, "What, you know anything about that property over there?" You know, and I knocked on Evelyn's door, right over here. Knocked on her door. I didn't know that was her door, but I knocked on the door. She answered the door, and I said, "Evelyn?" She said, "Brother Steve." I said, "What are you doing here?" She said, "What are you doing here?" So the cat was out of the bag, you know. She'd moved out of Garland. She left the church earlier, and I didn't know that they'd moved out here, but that was their old home place, and moved out here. And this is a nicer place than what they had there in Garland as well. So we prayed, of course, and the cat was out of the bag. But this property, we found this here and talked to her, and it was a landscape area. Mostly it was undeveloped, just right over here on this side. That's why we have problems with the grass growing over there. It's a bunch of rock and hard pan, and construction entrance is over there, and we just kept it there. But that's the reason we always had problems with grass growing over there on that in that yard. That's why. And it went stretched out to the back. Good news is the back had some cow manure back there. We took good use of that, made good use of that over there. But we looked at, you know, maybe buying about 5 to 7 acres. We were leaning towards 7. We had 4.3 down in Garland is what we had down there. So we could do that, and or if we found a good enough place, you know, for low enough amount of money, we could buy more land and then develop and sell, which that's ultimately what we ended up doing. So we bought this 28 acres for just over $720,000 is what we paid for the 28 acres and change. And we bought the land, of course, on a note, and we then put our own property up for sale, and then I worked on that, and we sold our own property. I did about all the land out here. So we prayed and worked over that and the sale of our property, and when God answered that prayer, man, we're excited about it, joyful. When God answers prayer, your response will be of joy. We prayed so hard over the property and the building, and I had to put up with people making fun of us, like the lease, you know, and skits and stuff like that. They making fun about how long it's going to take to build the building. And they're lucky I didn't church them over that. You know, they were making fun of us. And finally, we opened the doors. We did. We opened the doors. We made it. We made it in. I'll never forget, you know, the first bond sale that we had over there. It was at Murphy Road Baptist Church. And the bond company president was there, and they made their pitch, and we took up promises, and man, they were sad faces all over that place. And I walked up, and bond president, I said, "Well, can we get there from here?" And he said, "No, I'm sorry. There's no way to get there from here. This won't work." And I said, "Well, Sunday's coming, and why don't you give me a try?" "Well, no, we're the professionals at this. You know, we really need to be the ones leading it." And I got to thinking about that and praying about it. I said, "Well, they don't know you from anything, you know." And I said, "Give me a go. You already had your go. Why don't you give me a turn up the plate, you know, Casey at the bat, if nothing else, you know." And so we got in, and boy, I just laid it all out and just let my heart out, you know. And boy, we took up the promises, and man, they started grinning from ear to ear. And I walked up to the bond president, and I said, can we get there from here?" And he said, "We sure can, preacher. We can get there from here." Joy. 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 Can you imagine, you know, being a pastor, and you're laying it on the line, and all of a sudden you can't make it, but Sundays are coming, then all of a sudden you can make it. We can make it from here. And we did. We celebrated joy. All four of our children are now married. And we prayed for a good Christian mate for each and every one of them. And God answered that prayer. Last one was Colin. He drug up the rear, but he come across, you know. Come across the finish line. And joy. Joy. Preached the other day, you know, and I did that on purpose. I interrupted the worship series. No greater joy than hearing my children walk in truth. They all are married to good Christian people who want to love God and want to serve Him. And that's, these days especially, that's a blessing. I could hurry on, I'll never get done. Number four, prayer is a way of escape from trouble and worry. Some people say, "Well, why pray when you can worry?" You know, I'm a little bit guilty of that. You know, you give it to God and you take it back. Give it to God and you take it back. Give it to God and take it back. I'm a little guilty of that. How about you? Anybody like that? Sometimes I'm like that. But God doesn't want us to worry. Not talking about being concerned, but worrying. He would rather us give it to Him in prayer. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Peter 5:7, cast in all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Don't you know God cares for you? When my kids come home and they're there at the house, you know, and I think about oftentimes how their mama plays with them and scratches their head or whatever, you know, I think about my mother. And I remember going home, you know, and laying my head over in her lap. Boy, she's a good head scratcher. Good back scratcher. And she just, it just has mama's touch, you know. The way she just puts you right to sleep. Just scratching your head, scratching your back. I've tried to get Miss Dory to do that, but she went, I ain't getting it. What are you laughing about? I'm just playing with you. But we need to learn how to cast our care on the Lord. Crawl up in Daddy's lap. Abba, Father, and learn and be filled with the joy that we can crawl up in His lap and all be well. You're not the first one to have to deal with stress in life. Aren't you glad you have a God with big shoulders? He can handle it. David said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Not just some of them. All of them. You heard of Humpty Dumpty? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty took a great fall, right? All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And I'd tell teenagers years ago, you ever heard of Humpty Dumpty? And I said, but Humpty Dumpty did not know God. You meet God. He can take broken toys, shattered dreams, and put a life back together. You say, I've made a mess. Uh-huh. You're not the first one. You won't be the last one. But God can take a mess and make a masterpiece out of your life if you'll surrender to Him. He can do that. He's God. He can. Not only can He takes great joy in doing of it. Takes great joy in doing it. What a friend we have in Jesus. All of our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I remember one time our church was in trouble. We had a little internal family issue and created questions in hearts and minds. Unnecessary and foolish. But in 1 month, we were down over $30,000. And our payments were over $19,000. Just our mortgage payments. In 1 month... You talking about praying hard? I was praying hard. I can't make that up. I couldn't take no salary and make that up. This was way beyond anything that I could resolve. And finally decided to take it to the Lord, to the church in prayer. And it was really just a powerful thing. Because that same day that I gave that talk and kind of explained as much as I could without hurting children. Okay? I said, if you need to know more, you come see me. That day, I received an offering later in the day. Received offering, envelope. Guess how much it was for? Yep. Yep. Not only that, so that was the shortfall in that month. And people were shocked. Members, even high pillars in the church were shocked. Just like that. Danger. And I told the church, and God had already answered the prayer. Not only that, God says, I'll show you this. You've done your job. I'll move in the hearts of my people. And the very next Sunday, everything went right back up where it was supposed to be. And I thought, well, Lord, there's the Sunday, and here's the whipped cream and the cherry on top. Pray. Number five, pray because it's a witness to the lost. Every time we pray, it's a benefit to the lost. 1 Kings 18:36 came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the God, Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. In verse 39, it says, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. Makes a difference. Our lives touch other people's lives. Number six, I've got to wrap up. Pray to be saved. Now people say, well, you got to say the sinner's prayer. Well, there's no sinner's prayer in the Bible, but sinners should pray. And the most thing they ought to pray is the Lord, how to be saved and to be saved. You have not because you ask not. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Number seven, pray that souls would be saved. We ought to be actively praying that souls would be saved. Romans 10, 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Bring glad tidings of good things. Matthew 9, 36. The Bible says, he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth the laborers into his harvest. Let me give you a couple more. Number eight. Am I on number eight? Number eight. Pray, as I already talked about from Paul, pray that your pastor will preach with boldness and truth. You don't want your pastor to lose his teeth. It's a curse. It is a curse. You know, I think one of the groups there at Heartland, they didn't write the song. Preacher, you want to be my friend, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Don't tell me like it is. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me like it is. It's something like that. But tell me like it is. In other words, tell me the truth even if it hurts. I'd rather go to a church that I get my ears pinned back every once in a while. I go to the church, it just tickles my ears and tells me I'm going to heaven, everything's going to be fine. Well, everything's not going to be fine if you're living in sin. If you go to a doctor and you have cancer and he says, oh, you're good, man, just go on out, go fishing, you know, everything will be fine. Then a year from now, you're coughing up blood and you say, well, doc, what's this blood I'm coughing up? Oh, you got cancer about a year ago, but I thought you'd just go fishing and enjoy yourself. You'd probably not go back to that doctor. You'd be some offended with him, wouldn't you? I'd rather have a man tell me I've got a problem, they got a flat tire. You know, sometimes you drive by somebody and they're just flashing you down, you know, and roll down your window, roll down your window. You got it, and they pull over, you know. That's a friend. You got a flat tire. Better to have somebody warn you when your tires are going flat before you have a blowout and you have $7,000 worth of damage on your trailer. That's a friend. And it's a friend who will tell you, you know, hey, you've got some problems here. That's a friend. That's a friend. Pray that your pastor will preach with boldness and truth. Number nine, prayer serves as a foundation to faith. You know, really, when we pray, we're demonstrating our dependence on God. You're saying, I can't do this by myself. God says, about time you admitted that, son. I can't do it by myself. And that's pride. That's our pride that gets us there. I don't really need God. Well, you really do need God. You need God to breathe. You need God to open your eyes in the morning. You need God to let your right foot move before your left foot. You need God for every single thing. Every good and every perfect thing cometh from above. So every time we pray, we're demonstrating our dependence upon God Almighty and acknowledging Him. So every time we pray, we're strengthening our faith. Strengthening our faith. That's good. That we exercise our faith and see it grow. The Lord said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Looking at Brother Bill and working with him the other day and trying to just help him from the wheelchair to get back in bed. And I hope that the therapy coming up, Lord willing, will see him restored with some of his strength. Because I tell you, Brother Gabe and I pretty much picked him all the way up and put him in his bed. He didn't have much to help us with, if he had anything at all. And I tell you, We're weaker than we think. We're weaker than we think. But we're wise if we say, God, you're the one that has all power in the world, and I need your help. And we need to have enough humility and kick pride in the seat of the pants or in the teeth, either one will do, and say, I need to quit relying on myself and start relying more on God. Amen? Amen or oh me? Both with me, right? Both. I've admitted some of my faults. It's your turn. Okay, where's my sheet?